Senior Focus.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury, your presenter for this session of Senior Focus. And it is winter. It is a time of challenge for many people throughout the motu. Because of climate change, we're getting these unplanned for weather events that are quite tumultuous and serious in their impact, and so it's challenging for communities to get the support needed to people and to get underway with clean-ups and so on. So our thoughts go out to those communities on the West Coast particularly and in the Marlborough Sounds at this time. It is still the time of Matariki, this festival time in late June, early July. It's very significant and newly being celebrated by many people, and it will be a feature on our calendars permanently in the future. Now, I've actually wanted to share with you just a few of the events that I attended and the significance of those in the wider context. I think it's worthwhile, you know, having perspective on this developed further. Matariki centres around whānau. It's a remembering time. It's a time of reflection and thinking about those who've passed on. It's also a time of learning, looking backwards and upwards in order to look forwards. And it is a time to connect and gather together and to celebrate the whole of life as a whole, to think about the different things we learn and appreciate at different stages in our lives, to value aging as a process. And it is encouraging at this time to look at collective responsibility for how to plan for later life, how to better incorporate seniors in event planning, for example. There are lots of ways in which we can expand on taking a whole-of-life approach to being more inclusive. And so Matariki actually will be good for our society. It's not just celebrating Māori culture. It's a much broader concept than that. And the learning and the richness of this time that will be passed on, that will be shared, the interconnections between our cultures that will be enriched through all the events that go on. So I'd just like to share with you three areas of activity that I've been involved in during Matariki this year. And the first one is exploring Commercial Bay. And for those of you who don't know Commercial Bay, it's the large building complex opposite the old post office, now called Britomart, at the bottom of Queen Street. And for all the hoo-ha about Queen Street and whether it's going forwards or backwards in its redesign and layout, Commercial Bay is a great success. The escalators make it easy to get to the food court on level one. There are 35 eateries. There are lots of communal bench seating situations where groups can come in and eat, or where individuals can go and not feel lonely. There's, with the 35 eateries, just everything under the sun, from sushi to vegan offerings, from Tart and Little Bird to Vietnamese Nam Nam, to the drinking holes like Public. There's so many different options that you have. It's a bit mind-blowing initially, but very worthwhile, and there's something for all budgets. So if you're looking for somewhere to have a snack when you're downtown, definitely get to Commercial Bay. But it's the whole concept of the building that's amazing with the laneways and shops. And it became a series of sites for artists to display their tong, woven kōwhaiwhai patterns in wool hangings in Kate Spade's New York shop is one example. Amazing clay work, the uku vessels in Aotea, the skincare store. Collaborations of sound and neon tubes in different other stores. The Kōkako charity t-shirt display, or the collection of sneakers that were being recycled. And, you know, the list just goes on and on. There's so many different kinds of activities that could be spotted in different stores. The main sculpture work of the nine stars of Matariki along the widest corridor or laneway was quite a worthwhile contribution, I felt, because just the way they had a warmth about them, even though they were dark painted matte finish, they seemed to envelop everyone with this warmth, and different, slightly different shapes and sizes, and all had different meanings associated with them, and those were conveyed by various symbols attached to these stars. And so I guess many people have heard now of seven stars of Matariki. They might not have heard of nine, and they might have wondered why the difference. And I would just say that it stems from different iwi have different night sky views of Matariki in different parts of the country. They can see the stars differently, and so the cluster may appear to be larger, and they have their own particular centralized focus in the cluster that they refer to. Ponanga is referred to in Taranaki, but Matariki itself is the centre of the cluster with other iwi. So they're just different stories because they're seeing different aspects in the way they're viewing the stars and formation. Now, my main discovery in visiting Commercial Bay, and I did that several times over the Matariki period, was the power of the light work in terms of the lit-up artwork in the actual square between Commercial Bay and Britomart. So that square is now called Te Komititanga, and it's got various designs in the pavement that are Māori. It's got various surroundings that have references to tangata whenua. And these boards, these kind of story boards lit up and empowered to communicate both verbally in words, descriptions of the stars, and practically through art, two-dimensional representation of the meanings attached to these stars. And so this was something that was quite powerful, carrying the concept about the stars and the concept about tikanga Māori, the customs of Matariki, and how they can inform and enliven and invigorate life for people. So it's not morbidly grieving for somebody who's passed. It's not that sort of remembering. It's remembering the richness with inspiration, what has been passed on, what has been gifted to iwi and indeed to the planet. And that it's gratitude. It's a celebration of gratitude. That's what Matariki is really about. And it's a celebration of our connection to the earth and our need to be nurturing towards Mother Earth, and so hence the addition of clay works in the tongue presented by the artists. I could go on and on, but that was there was kapahaka performances, there were soundscapes, there were poetry readings, there were all sorts of ways in which tongue was shared. And I won't talk about any individuals or any groups or comment on that at all, just to say the richness and the variety was quite magnificent. If this is what we do when we don't have an official holiday, imagine what we're going to have to look forward to next year. Now, the second special event that I went to, or special offering, was the NZSO, the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra, performance of Gareth Farr's Matariki. And such an amazing work, where he incorporated the best of Western traditions and the best of Māori tradition of the flutes, the tūroro and the putorino, and various ways he incorporated the waiata and Mary Boynton's compositions, in terms of her kōrero that incorporated the philosophy and teachings of Dr. Rose Perry. Just extraordinary piece of work, and I found great excitement and wonderful, spectacular enthusiasm from amongst the audience that I was able to share with at the end, and particularly able to pass on my thanks both to Gareth and to Mary Boynton, whom I have had the pleasure of knowing in Te Whanganui Aotearoa in Wellington, and her work with Takirua Theatre over the years. So I'm not going to go into details critiquing it or anything from a music perspective, but just to say it was spellbinding. The whole audience was fully engaged, and it was very palpable, the feeling that everyone shared in being able to absorb the spectacular nature of this production. Now, and it was its inaugural premiere production, so I'm not quite sure how we might access it in the future, but I hope that it's going to be performed again in other Matariki festivals, and I hope other groups take up the challenge of performing it. So the third thing that I want to mention, the third event, is probably the one that is leaving the lingering flavour of Matariki for me alive and stimulating thought and writing, and that's the offering at the City Art Gallery, the Auckland Art Gallery, called Light, and that is Bill Colbert's work, which is on display now for the next few months. And that's a series of works, photographs and sculptures involving fluorescent tubes and the refraction of light, exploring light from a science point of view but as art. And I don't want to analyse this from an art critique point of view. I just want to say that it's an amazing exhibition, definitely worth a visit. What has it got to do with Matariki? Well, it has this to do with Matariki. The name given by the iwi to the whole experience of Commercial Bay during Matariki was Whānau Marama, And this was a very deliberate choice of title, Whānau Marama, which translates as, the understanding, the light and significance surrounding whānau. In other words, not, you know, we're more than just the DNA of our ancestors, but we carry their light and we rediscover the power of light through appreciating and having gratitude for what they've gifted to us. That's one way of looking at it, but Whānau Marama was a great title because Marama, of course, we think of Marama as moon, but Marama is light. And viewing stars is all about seeing light in the darkness, but accept that there is light in darkness all the time, and that's what Bill's sculptural work and photography is all about, is discovering the power of light to transform darkness, and how there is never no light, there is always light, and light is always creating more light, so to speak. Very interesting set of concepts. Now, what heralds one's awareness of light when you arrive at Auckland Art Gallery these days is the magnificent crystal waka that's suspended above a pool of water in the forecourt area of the art gallery itself. So as you approach the outside entrance, there are three carved columns of wood. Magnificent pieces, huge, tall, and very symbolic. So you're arriving, you've got art meeting you before you even step inside the building. And directly in line with these three columns of wood is the waka suspended skyward. A national icon it is. That's how people were describing it when I was at the gallery with the artist Reuben Patterson on Sunday. And indeed, it's going to have its mark on art in New Zealand. I'm referring to it as it, but the artist Reuben Patterson speaks in terms of he. His concept of the waka is definitely that it's a he. And all the discussion that flowed during the kōrero on Sunday was about the spiritual essence of the waka guide, Kaiārahi. And it's a pathway. He is a pathway to moving upwards and moving onwards and moving forwards. And how he communicates, how he conveys spiritual essence, spiritual awareness, light in inverted commas, how he extends light into darkness. And just one or two small stories that convey the significance of this I'd like to share with you. One is the detailed carvings on the prow and the stern of the waka. Very intricate. Very beautiful, captures sunlight and refracted light of the crystals. Magnificent, thrilling, and the glitter to boot sets it off. How and why these intricate carvings appeared is a story in itself. Reuben tells of going to Te Papa and being admitted into the storage basement area where a number of early New Zealand carved Māori works exist. Of course, only a fraction of what is in Te Papa's collection is on display. So amongst the works that are not displayed currently, Reuben came across two small pieces of a 19th century waka descended from use amongst his people in the late Tarawera era of the destruction of the pink and white terraces and the eruption and the consequent impact on his people at the time. So at that time, these parts were part of a large waka. And as he nurtured them, as he let them speak to him, and as he walked about with these pieces, they became part of the concept for his design. And I think that's, you know, very, very special in itself. Another aspect of all of this was the way the waka arrived. It was coming from Brisbane. It was manufactured over there, according to instructions, and it was due to arrive on a certain date, which happened to be the 135th anniversary of the historical moment at which the locals saw a waka on the lake. And this apparition was indeed a warning of the eruption to come, to about 12 days beforehand. But indeed, this transportation of the waka got delayed and disrupted and didn't occur quite when it was expected. But even that showed how the waka was communicating its own way to come in its own time and to be part and parcel of, yes, a historical connection, but a strong current connection with what is meaningful right now. On the morning when Ngāti Whātua were conducting the blessing at dawn, the lights that were supposed to come on wouldn't cooperate. And it seemed odd because there was an electrician brought in and everything was checked. The electrician could find no faults, nothing wrong, but no lights were coming on. But when the conch blower began to blow the conch, the lights suddenly came on. And that reminded me very much of a former guide at Te Papa, who had guided kings and queens over 30 years and heads of state through Te Papa, and was in fact one of the architects of the bicultural development of the museum, certainly on a day-to-day basis. She had always had a role of kaitiaki for the taonga in the museum. So when security staff were worried if they had experienced lights flickering, particularly in the darkness at night, as there was 24-hour security in the building, but strange noises would come from the toilets or strange smells would be evident, things would just not be quite right, and they would phone her and she would come by taxi immediately and she would proceed to do whatever karakia was needed to calm however much of the vibrational space of the museum was involved in such reactions. And she would actually provide the calming influence and settle down whatever had troubled the Tonga. And she was that wonderful spiritual guide and giving that service to the museum over those years. Now, I shared that with some people on Sunday, and including Reuben, because I felt there was a parallel. And I thought, if one piece of artwork can have such an impact as Reuben's Waka has, he is a pretty powerful sculptural piece. And he's going to have an awakening impact spiritually on the whole nation. And that's the feeling I had when I really absorbed how people had turned out for the talk, what they discussed in the talk, how moved they were by the spirituality of this piece, of this creation, and the wonderful atmosphere and the wonderful exchange and richness of the kōrero. So do get along to the Auckland Art Gallery and do have a look. Whether it's raining, whether it's sunny, whether it's dark-skied or whether it's brilliant sunshine or even starlight, you will see a difference and you will be moved and you will awaken to the fact that all objects have a whakapapa and have enormous capacity to tune us in to a whole new awareness of our own spirituality and our connection to the earth and to the stars. So I invite you to just go along, just suspend whatever current beliefs you have and just take note and let yourself be moved. And do go and see the light sculpture inside as well while you're at it. Now, our time is drawing towards an end, but I want to point out there's a couple of things coming that you might want to know about. One is the Auckland choral singing that's going to take place at Holy Trinity Cathedral on Saturday the 18th of September at 7:30. And it's a free event called Light. And it's going to be really amazing. It's not a free event. I apologise. It's going to be amazing. It's not free, but it's sponsored heavily by a lot of wonderful sponsors. But it's the Auckland Choral Foundation, and it's going to be a whole program about light. But there is a free singing happening on Sunday the 17th of October, a month later, at the Auckland Town Hall at 5 o'clock, and that's free. And there's a lot of research about how singing together with other people, particularly in a public context, is very enhancing of your well-being and has strong physiological effects on your health, even for short periods of time. So let's get involved in these activities and let's enjoy music together. Thank you for listening and look forward to having you with us next time. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25pm on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.